The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. You almost made it sound a little like NPR.
Hey, why not? You know, change it up a little bit. You let me open for once.
So. That is pretty nice. I am Andy Taylor, and we are the show that talks about
computers,
technology,
and the internet.
Wow, good.
How are you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing good, except I broke my phone this week.
Yeah, I dropped
my phone. What? Oh.
Into the toilet.
No, it did not drop it into the commode. But this is what's weird about it. 5 years ago, I dropped my iPad getting out of my car at the radio station in Green Valley, KGVY. And it fell right on top and smack. I still haven't fixed it. It works.
Cracked glass.
Yeah, cracked the screen. You know.
What kind of phone do you have now?
I have the iPhone 6S.
Okay, right? Now it's time to go to Android.
Right. So I get out of my car. Dude, I'm not kidding you. 5 years to the day, and I drop my iPhone, and it lands on its face and smacks. But it cracks the glass, not throughout the entire screen, only on the top, right on top of the camera.
Yeah. This is a sign. This is a sign you need to go to Android.
Yeah, we did FaceTime, and Justin actually said to me, are you in a hookah lounge?
Yeah, because, I mean, literally, the camera looked like he was, like, covered in smoke. Like, I was like, what are you doing?
The world rejoiced. No more selfies from Andy.
Yeah.
Although I've learned how to turn the camera around and do the automated setting so I can still
can
take
them.
Can
you just drop your phone one more time on the backside, please? Those videos you make where you spin around your chair, I mean, they still make me dizzy, man.
All right, so the one thing I did do is I did some research. This is a DIY project.
Totally. Replace the glass?
I'm thinking about it.
It's actually
pretty easy. Is it really? I've never done it before.
Oh, dude, it's so easy, man. You can buy a kit off of like Amazon or
eBay. Had some,
I stay away from eBay personally.
I went on to Amazon. Yeah.
Amazon or other sites will sell you kits. They give you the tool that you need to take to open up the case of the phone. They give you the glass. They give you the instructions. It's super easy.
Now, I guess because it's an iPhone, I have to have something called a digitizer. Is that what it is? It's a digitizer? I guess what that does is translate your touch onto it.
I have no idea about that, honestly. What do you mean digitize your touch onto it? It's a piece of glass.
It's a piece of glass, but I think the glass has the digitizer that's a part of it. At least that's what I think.
Oh, okay. So the glass might be like in certain areas of the phone, it might actually have a little bit thinner part of glass to be able to allow fingerprints or something. But the whole piece of the glass is touch sensitive.
Yeah.
So it's just a piece of glass.
Well, I found a kit. It's $100 from a company called U-Repair. See, the other thing, my son, Ricardo, told me, go with an OEM.
Go with an OEM kit. You can buy kits for like $30.
What?
You go to these websites or whatever it is, or you go to your local cell phone repair shop.
Right.
You're going to pay $100 to get your screen repaired because that's what they can charge. And even this website is going to make a premium on it. You can buy the kit yourself, and with a quick YouTube search, you can find out how to open up your own phone and replace your glass for a fraction of the cost.
That's why I liked U-Repair though, because they actually have a step-by-step video. I'm gonna have to search it out. It's not a big priority right now. It just, you know, like I said, it's making me take a break from doing the selfies. And if I have and you know, the crazy thing is, my phone is now eligible for an upgrade.
Yeah, but you're not gonna be able to trade it in.
No, I won't. I have to have it. I can't even do it with it glass fixed, right?
No, yes, you can.
You can?
Okay. Yeah, so I had a friend that actually, she actually had a phone that was glass was broken on it. She took it in. They were like, well, you're eligible for an upgrade, but we can't trade your phone in because you have cracked glass. So she went and she actually paid the premium, took it to a local service. They repaired her glass for her. It cost her $150. But when they took it back into the cell phone shop, they were like, okay, now you're eligible for an upgrade. We'll give you $200 for the phone.
Great.
And she was like, okay, sure. So she basically got $50 towards her next phone.
Right.
Because she repaired her own glass.
Yeah, well, I got the offer today. As a matter of fact, they sent me, and I can have a brand new iPhone set. And I'm thinking,
That's because when you drop your phone and you crack your glass, it sends a signal back to Apple to let your carrier know that, hey, he's got a broken phone.
I think
so. Send him an upgrade notice right away.
Maybe I could do it with the tax money I'm going to get, right?
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, sure. It's that time of year.
Yeah, it's always a great way to spend and help the economy out. And if you're thinking about doing your taxes, Last year we had Lisa Green Lewis on the mm-hmm. show talking about TurboTax.
Yep.
Let's have her back on. She's here with us right now to tell us a little bit about the program. Lisa, it's great to have you on the show.
Hey, Lisa.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Have there really been any major, huge, big changes since last year in the way that we're filing our taxes?
Well, I would say the overall industry last season, IRS reported that they saw growth over 5% of people doing their own taxes. And TurboTax is continuing to see that growth. Last season, we saw huge growth in the amount of people doing their own taxes. We saw 15% growth in our TurboTax online. And then we also are continuing to see growth in the amount of people doing their taxes using their mobile phone. We had nearly 6 million TurboTax customers that did their taxes on their mobile device. So there's people are not afraid to do their taxes themselves.
Yeah, most of us now, I think, at least the people that I've talked to have said the first of the year rolls around, they just want to get it done. They want to be completed with it.
Yeah, they do. Last season, about 75% of taxpayers received a tax refund close to $2,800. So that's a lot of money for people. So it is worth getting your taxes done.
Well, it's also great because a lot of that money goes right back into the economy. So as a, you know, as a CPA, I'm sure, you know that is a good thing.
Yes, it is for sure.
Well, now for those who are not familiar with TurboTax, can you kind of tell us a little bit about the program and how long it's been around?
Yeah, so TurboTax has been around over 30 years. Our program, you can go online and use our program or use a CD version or a disc version. If you go online, it's very easy to use. Same with the desktop version. We ask simple questions about you. You're not required to know tax laws or tax forms. We just ask the simple questions, and then based on your answers, we do everything on the back end for you. And we search over 350 tax deductions and credits for you, making sure that you get the tax refund that you deserve.
I remember the old days, you know, before TurboTax, if that ages me at all, but I remember having to sit down and go through that booklet, and, you know, you would have to find the deductions. I know that TurboTax for the consumer and even the small business are finding deductions that people didn't know they could take.
Yes, yes. There are so many deductions that people didn't know that they could take. And the self-employed, it's a growing market. There are 55 million self-employed people right now. And new this year, TurboTax developed a product just for the self-employed called TurboTax Self-Employed. And it helps you organize your expenses and separate your personal and business expenses and categorize them. And it also has a tool called Expense Finder. And Expense Finder can uncover deductions that you didn't even know were possible. And we found that on average, it finds about $18,000 in business deductions and saves taxpayers a little over $4,000.
Now, a lot of people, Lisa, are frightened when they start a business. They're frightened to take a lot of deductions that are actually due to them because they're afraid of being, you know, that word, that audit. How does TurboTax kind of protect the end user, number one, from that? And can they be more aware of, hey, listen, you are really kind of approaching a dangerous level?
First of all, less than 1% of taxpayers are audited. And then TurboTax asks the questions about you and your business. And then also in our new product for self-employed, Expense Finder, it goes through your bank and credit card accounts and asks you if these expenses are truly business expenses or if they're personal. So it uncovers those expenses. It uses machine learning. So let's say it sees that you've been to Staples multiple times. It will say, you know, we see this amount of expenses to Staples. Are these business expenses? And then it lets the customer confirm that. It helps in that way. And then our TurboTax products, we also have Complete Check this year. So it checks for any missing, incomplete, or conflicting information. And at the end of the program, if it notices any conflicting information, it has you go back to that spot where it sees that and then has you correct it.
Oh, phenomenal. Now, I one of the greatest finds that I found in the last year, and I think we talked about this but last year when I started using this, was QuickBooks Self-Employed. And we know QuickBooks is really the great invoicing program put out by Intuit. But I use the app. Now, can it take that data for my mileage-driven expenses that I've, you know, been able to track daily and mark this is business? Can it use that and import that into that the new Self-Employed version?
Yes, it does do that. And also this year, if you use TurboTax Self-Employed and you haven't been using QuickBooks Self-Employed, TurboTax Self-Employed includes a year of QuickBooks Self-Employed. So you are able to track your income and expenses, track your mileage. You can also capture your receipts with your phone.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can scan them basically and keep them. Now, is the IRS kind of changed a little on its allowing of scanned cut receipts? I mean, it used to be you had to keep every single receipt you had. Have they kind of changed or lessened the restrictions on those?
It's best to have your receipt. I know they will take, like, if you're using your bank statements that have itemized things that you purchased, they will take that as well.
Right.
But QuickBooks Self-Employed, you actually capture your receipt with a picture on your phone.
Wow. For anybody thinking about doing a business, even if they think that maybe they're not making a ton of money, they're, you know, and they're maybe at a loss, they should really still be looking at Self-Employed, because you're going to find those deductions which can actually help offset maybe their personal liabilities.
Yes, exactly. You know, there's anything from startup costs that can be deductible, like your advertising expenses, marketing, supplies that you buy for your business, or even your home office. There's so many deductions that you could get that can reduce your business income and your tax liability, which in turn can reduce the amount of tax liability you have overall.
Now, with somebody with an LLC, would they also be looking at this particular program?
Yes, yeah. They could if they are a sole proprietor but still have the LLC. Yes, they can use this.
Awesome. Now, I love using TurboTax because it's fun to actually do, because it is wizard driven. You're not really racking your head because the numbers are being presented to you again by the TurboTax program. For those that maybe aren't tech savvy, or maybe, you know, they don't use a computer as much as me, if they sit down in front of their computer, I mean, seriously, you've made it pretty easy, even the ability to scan their W-2s?
Yes. So we have the ability to snap a picture of your W-2, and TurboTax puts that information directly on the correct tax forms. And actually, last season, TurboTax customers snapped 5 million W-2s with their phones.
Wow. Now somebody can go online, which this is what I love about this. They can go online to the TurboTax.com website, and they can, you know, if they've got a basic, I told my daughter, I said, go to TurboTax.com. You can enter your information. She's, you know, a student, almost a full-time job, and she can enter the information in there and find out really if she's going to have to pay, or even in some cases, even get that filed for free.
Yes. So TurboTax, we have TurboTax Absolute Zero. So if you have a 1040 EZ or 1040A, you can file for absolutely free. Free federal, free state, and e-file. And there's 60 million people that are eligible for this offer. And it's typically people that make under $100,000. So that's a broad span of people.
Yeah, that is pretty good, actually. Now, how many different versions of the software are there, and how would they apply to the consumer? And like for our listeners that are going into, you know, an Office Max, even a Walmart, they carry it. Which ones should they be looking at?
Online, we have our Deluxe, Premier, and then we have TurboTax Self-Employed, and then also our federal free product. So that there's four products. And then if you're buying the desktop version, we have our basic, deluxe, Premier and Home and Business. We have products for every situation we talked about. Simple tax return, so 1040 EZ-A, they would use our federal free online, and they would be able to use Absolute Zero. But even if you have a business, you could use TurboTax Self-Employed. If you have a rental property, then you would use TurboTax Premier.
If you have a situation where maybe somebody's got a job and they have a business, should they still be looking, obviously, at the self-employed version? And what if it's both parties? Because I know a lot of women out there that are super sharp and have their businesses actually doing better than their husbands, and their husbands are doing them. Can they run more than one business with that software?
Yes, you can. And, you know, we specifically designed it for that as well. We found that 80% of tax returns have both a W-2 income claimed as well as 1099 miscellaneous or self-employed income. So it's definitely ready to handle that.
I noticed on the blog, which is very good for TurboTax, you come up with a lot of the things that people miss when it comes to deductions. Now, say somebody has used the TurboTax software, the desktop version, or even maybe the online version, and they've missed something. They've missed a deduction, and they need to refile. Can they still go on and do an amended tax return using the software or the online service?
Yes, you can. So if you've already filed and the IRS accepted your tax return, then that's the case when you would do an amendment, and TurboTax can walk you through how to do the amendment.
Excellent. Now, and if somebody missed filing, and I'm not talking about me, okay, I'll raise my hand right now. That's not me. But if they missed filing for 2015, can they still find versions of prior years online that they could get the software and actually do their tax filing?
Yes, they can go to TurboTax.com, and then we have the previous year's products on there.
Now, one of the things I noticed that when somebody goes out and they buy the TurboTax software, it wants to do an update pretty much right away. Is that because the tax laws do tend to change and there are updates when it comes to that?
Sometimes when you're talking about the desktop, it's in the stores pretty early.
Yeah.
And so there are still some updates to be made by the time someone buys it in January.
Now, Lisa, when somebody has this software and that they filed, it's been accepted by the IRS, they filed their state as well, which they can also do through the desktop and online versions of the programs. When they're done with it, is that it? I mean, they just, you know, that's it. I don't look at that software anymore. Or can it be used to kind of help them get ready and get prepared for 2017 filing?
They can use it for that. There is an area in the software where you can plan and estimate on the desktop. And they can also use our tool called TurboTax TaxCaster, which also helps you see what your tax liability will be.
Oh, that's always, that can be scary though.
Or what kind of refund you're going to get.
What is your favorite part of this time of the year, Lisa? I mean, as a CPA and somebody that, you know, is really, I want to say an expert in TurboTax.
My favorite part is helping people and helping them figure out deductions and credits that they didn't even know existed. And,
yeah,
you know, they're always surprised. Like, for instance, we're seeing so many people diving into the on-demand economy, driving for Uber and Lyft. I take Uber and Lyft quite often, and sometimes I'll talk to the drivers and I ask them, oh, did you know that if you purchased your SUV for your business, you may be able to get a deduction for up to $25,000, and they're shocked by it, and they're like, oh, wow, if I would have known that, you know, the previous year, or if I would have been using TurboTax, I could have saved this money. But, I just like helping people save money.
But is that kind of a challenge for you, though, if you go out to a dinner function or you're somewhere in the months of January, February, and March, where somebody hears you're a tax expert? Is it like seeing a doctor where suddenly everybody's showing them their wound? You know, do you get the tax questions constantly?
Yes, I do. And friends that come and ask me to do their taxes at, you know,
Yeah, well, yeah,
the
obviously,
deadline. So. It,
the nice thing is you can direct them to TurboTax. They can take a look for themselves. They can actually use the TurboTax software and then decide to purchase it. I understand there's a like a trial version of it.
Well, yeah, you don't pay until you decide to use it, so you can put. Or until you decide to file.
Right.
So you can put your information in and you don't pay until you file.
Excellent. And again, this is all available at TurboTax. And they should really keep an eye, and I want to tell our listeners, keep an eye on the blog because you've written some columns for them, again, about some of those deductions, some of those things that many people miss, you know, even some ideas and, you know, maybe what you do with your money when you get your return to kind of get ready for the next year as well. And of course, the big issue has been, you know, health insurance, how to make sure you're in that area where you're not going to be penalized for not having health insurance.
Right. And yeah, this year, everything's the same with health insurance. The laws haven't changed, but yeah, definitely check back with the TurboTax blog because we're always up to date with the newest tax laws.
Awesome. Now, I know, Lisa, you've been on Steve Harvey's show and you've done some other shows as well. I mean, does it look like you're going to be ramping that up a bit as we get closer to, what is it, April 18th this year?
Yeah, we're going to be talking to whoever needs to help their listeners or their viewers figure out what to do to get their taxes done. One more thing about TurboTax that's really exciting. With TurboTax now, we talked about do-it-yourself, and do-it-yourself doesn't mean you're alone now. We have really cool technology. It's called TurboTax SmartLook.
Right.
That allows customers to connect live via one-way video to a TurboTax expert and credentialed CPAs or enrolled agents to get personalized answers to your tax questions.
Oh,
so I
that's
had to
great.
Mention that because, you know, if you're new at doing your taxes or even if you're not, you may have a tax question and you'll be able to talk to credentialed CPAs or enrolled agents via one-way video. And they can draw on your screen and guide you where to go in your return and answer your tax questions.
Wait, so they can actually, so it's not just a talking face. They can actually interact with you through the application.
Yes.
Oh, that is phenomenal technology. That is great.
Yes.
I love the commercial with the, I don't know who the guy is that's playing tennis, but every time he's hitting tennis balls and setting fires and everything in the commercial for this, you hear sirens, and I always want to go look outside because it's such a well-done commercial. Yeah, no, that is a great piece of technology. How's the response been to that? Have people really been using it?
Oh, yeah, it's great, and it cuts response times down considerably because it's not like a chat where with chats you can't see exactly where somebody is in their return.
Right.
But with this, the tax expert can see the customer's screen. They can't see the customer, actually. The customer can see them, but they can't see the customer, only their screen.
Oh, that is great. That is a great way to help out. And again, makes the process move a lot faster for the consumer as well. And you know, trust me, they'll be using TurboTax for the rest of their life, which obviously you've been around this long. Many people have. The product has grown. And I think adding the self-employment version for this year is has been a really great idea. Now, if somebody is maintaining a rental income or has money coming in as annuities, is that also the version they'd be looking at?
They can if they also have a business, you know, if they're also self-employed. But if they're not self-employed and it's just rental property, strictly rental property or investments, they would use TurboTax Premier.
Excellent. And that's a very strong product. That's what we used last year to do ours, and it works great. And now I think having the self-employment version too will alleviate the headache for a lot of people. And is that something an Uber driver would be using? Is the self-employment version?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes, we have it. It's specific to industries as well, so it speaks to them and asks them, you know, did you drive for Uber and Lyft? And then we can uncover expenses that are directly related to them.
Well, it sounds great.
With SmartLook, too, you have the ability, you're able to do your taxes on your own, but get your questions answered on your own time. And then you also can schedule appointments as well with our TurboTax SmartLook.
Well, excellent.
So,
if they need to go deeper on that, they can.
Yes, schedule the appointment at a different time, then they're able to do that.
Excellent. Well, Lisa Green-Lewis, thank you so much for coming on Tech Talk Radio. Again, it's always a thrill. And you know, this year came around, I said, you know what? I really hope we get a chance to talk to Lisa again about TurboTax. Because again, the product keeps growing with the other products that are part of the Intuit stable as well. You can't go wrong in really having a good idea of where you are financially. And Lisa, I want to thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you for having me.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
We both like home automation. We both have, it's good stuff. There is a company out there that brings it all together. They are called Wink. And on the line with us is Matt McGovern, who is the Wink's VP of Marketing and Business Development. Matt, thanks for coming on Tech Talk Radio.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about Wink, maybe a little history of the company.
Yeah, Wink is a smart home platform that brings together all of the best smart products around your home into one simple app. We launched in July of 2014. We have over 37 different brands that work on the app and over 500 compatible products.
Well, out of all of these products that we're seeing now on the retail store shelves and even in home improvement stores, what really kind of makes Wink the best way for the consumers to go that want to maybe start stepping into technology and start making their home ready for the future?
The best thing about the smart home is that there's a lot of ways for customers to pick products that make sense for them, their life, and their family. We have a lot of customers that maybe start with a door lock and they want to know when their kids are getting home from school. We have other customers that, add a thermostat because they want to control their temperature remotely and start saving energy.
Yeah.
And so there's really a, infinite number of ways that customers can get started very simply.
Well, we set up, you guys sent us over to the Wink Hub too, and we set this up, this afternoon, and we were really loving the fact that we don't have to go back and forth because we have, just to give you an idea, we have Canary, we have a Nest camera, we have the smart home plugs. And to be able to access those, we'd have to go to one app, then go to another app, then go to another app. The Wink Hub 2 kind of brings that all together.
Yeah, I think that there are many smart products, but there are a few smart homes. And what Wink has done is really brought together all these different, great devices like you mentioned into one simple app. And so, no more switching back and forth. You don't need to have 20 apps on your phone. We bring all those things together in one simple experience. And really, before Wink launched, there were a lot of different smart products out there, but there really wasn't a way for them all to work together. And so that's what Wink Hub 2 does, is it brings together all the best technologies and best brands into one simple experience.
Do you think, Matt, that maybe with this, it's going to make those that have been a little timid, maybe a little afraid of the technology, make it more reasonable for them to be able to kind of navigate through it?
Yeah, it's a great time to start. Lots of people have been hearing about this. We've been promised a smart home, for, like you said, 50 years since the Jetsons.
Yeah.
And so everybody's been kind of waiting for this, and now's a really great time to get started. You can start with something as simple as a light bulb. Light bulbs cost between $10 and $15. They're going to last for over 20 years. You can add it really easy to your Wink Hub 2, and you're off and running.
Now, now with the new Wink Hub 2, now that this is available, the Wink Hub, the original one, is still available. What is kind of the difference between the two of them for consumers that are kind of trying to decide which way to go?
Yeah, we've taken really everything we've learned over the last 2 years from the original Wink Hub and put that into Wink Hub 2. It's the most inclusive hub in the market. It brings together all the best technologies. It's slimmer, it's faster, and we've really improved the experience. When you plug it in, it automatically connects, and it makes it really simple to start adding products.
Now, users can connect via Ethernet to their router or even Wi-Fi if they want to.
Yes, Wink works with all kinds of different technologies like Zigbee and Z-Wave, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. So we really want the technology to fade into the background, and the customer can spend their time picking the products that are right for them and from brands they trust.
Now this, and you mentioned brands you trust, this eliminates, having the Wink Hub 2 really eliminates the need. Like if somebody wanted to get a Honeywell thermostat and they have a Nest camera, they're not tied to that particular manufacturer. If they want to piece it all together, they could, because it's all brought into one.
Yes. Wink's all about giving customers choice. And so we work at the best brands in each of these categories. So on thermostats, we support Nest, Ecobee, Honeywell, and many more. And lighting, we work with Lutron and Leviton. And so it is all about that choice, right? So if a customer has that brand in their house already, that's no problem.
Very nice. Now, I noticed it's CES, and I'm sure, did you get a chance to go this year?
Yes.
Right? So you saw all of these appliance companies all making smart devices. You know, it all started really a few years back with Samsung having this really cool smart fridge, but now we're seeing washing machines, dishwashers, even, you know, trash cans that can be lifted. Is this something we're going to start seeing maybe Wink integrating with some of these larger appliances as well?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as we continue to work with the best brands in each category and bring those products together. What we're really focused on is listening to our users. You know, we spend a lot of time understanding how they're living in their homes, what brands are using, what products they're using, and what makes sense to bring together. And, it is possible to connect everything to the Internet. We also don't, just because we can doesn't mean we should. We take a lot of care in making sure that we're creating really, interesting partnerships that are actually going to add some really meaningful value.
Exactly. And that's, I noticed from the list that is available on the Wink site, if they want to go to Wink and take a look at it, they'll see many of the manufacturers that are a part of it. Now, I don't need to make all my technology choices, though, before I go out and I purchase the Wink 2 and set it up. I mean, like you said, we could start with a smart plug and then add stuff as we go and just keep adding it?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of our users start with about four devices on their first week. And then they start adding more, in the next month or two. And so we do see people starting to add a couple things. But, to your point, you can get started with one simple light bulb. You can add products over time. It can really become an easy process as you kind of get a few products installed.
I really love how easy it was to set up. I mean, the process, you've got it laid out. It's about four steps. As long as they know their passwords for their devices that they have, which I, of course, didn't, and I had to go reset them all. Once they get that done, though, it's pretty simple. Then they just go to the Wink app for all of those different devices.
Yeah, in the Wink app, we actually list every single product that we work with. So it's free to download, so we always encourage people to go ahead and download the app. You can see all the products by category and brand that work, and you can also scan a barcode of any product. So if you're at the store and you're wondering, what works with what, if you have the app on your phone, you can grab that package, scan the actual barcode from that product, and it'll tell you if it works or not. So it's a really simple way to start to kind of navigate this new smart home category.
Now, with the app that's available on their smartphone, is this working with all of the platforms now? I mean, are we seeing this on Android as well as iOS?
Yeah, we have apps for both iOS and Android, both for the mobile phones and for Apple Watch and Android Wear. We also support voice through Amazon Alexa, and Google Home is in the works and will be live in the coming weeks.
Can you kind of give us an idea, maybe a case scenario? How does that, because we've got Alexa here, how do we utilize Wink and Alexa? What would be kind of a way to do that?
We actually just recently announced a new functionality for door locks. So you can ask her if your door is locked, and you can also ask her to lock your door. And so that's a great way. You're in the kitchen. You're busy. You're busy. Your phone's not around. You can control your lights, locks, and thermostats all by using your voice.
Wow, that's great. You know what? It just gives me even more reason to be lazy, because let me tell you, when I go to bed at night, I always forget to tell Alexa, hey, set an alarm for the morning. And I'm always in bed. And seriously, the Alexa device is in the living room, so I just yell it out. But you know what? I don't have to yell very loud. She can hear it. Now I can say, Alexa, is the door locked? She'll be able to check, because it connects to the Wink Hub 2, and we'll check if we have the quick set lock or some of the other ones that are coming on the market, be able to do that.
Yeah, we really envision people, you know, using these products in a lot of different ways. You know, voice is great when you're at home, like you mentioned, you're on the couch or you're busy and you want to just kind of shout out. But it's also important to, you know, use your phone when you're on the go to have that constant touch point with your home, that peace of mind and knowing that everything is just the way you left it. And if something does come up, you know, you can take action. You can let someone in. You can get those alerts from your home so you're always in the know.
Maybe I'm away from the house and I don't have access to my phone. Can this also be done via the internet through my desktop?
Yeah, Wink, as we mentioned, Wink has an app store with iOS and Android, and so that's really the primary place that we see people, you know, wanting to interact with their home.
Now, on the Wink website, if I want to go online and learn more about this, I can see there are some packages that have been put together for that new Wink user that are going to make it easy. Everything from security. I didn't know that there were security systems available or these systems now that can control your shutters even. You can raise and lower your light, again, all through the Wink app.
Yeah, you know, we've based those starter kits on what we see people starting with. We've got a lot of feedback from users. We see what devices they're adding, and we've taken a lot of care in picking out kits that we think will be a great starting point for people. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's everything from, you know, lights, locks, blinds, thermostats, water heaters, sensors. So there's a lot of ways to get started, and so we've kind of pared that down and really picked some of the, you know, our favorite products so that people can have a nice, simple way to get started.
Like me, going to the Wink website and taking a look at this and seeing that they did have these blinds and shutters, I was kind of surprised. Are most people surprised now that how fast we're moving into making different items in the home smart?
Yeah, you know, it really is amazing. You know, we launched this 2 years ago, and since then we've gone from 15 partners to over 37, and the categories really expand, you know, across the entire home. And that's really the beauty of it, right? So you can start with something and continue to add. But it really is, you know, every single product in the home.
Wow, amazing stuff. Now, what about firmware updates? Because I know that, you know, I have to do a firmware update once in a while on my devices individually. Will I need to go to those apps, or does Wink take care of that as well?
Yeah, we partner with different companies to make sure that we're always having the latest and greatest. So it depends on those individual products. We push out updates to our app and to Wink Hub 2 every few weeks. And so we're constantly adding new features based on customer feedback and all the latest updates. And in most cases, there's nothing you have to do. Those updates happen automatically in the background.
Awesome. We're talking with Matt McGovern, Wink's VP of Marketing and Business Development. Now, what do you see for the future, Matt? I mean, when we talk about the connected home, do we see builders maybe integrating this into, you know, the final product of a home when somebody's purchasing one? What's the future?
Absolutely. There are many builders that are, you know, now putting this stuff in as a basic package of the home. So you move into a smart home with all these products already installed for you. And the best part about that is there's the flexibility to continue to add to it. You know, in the previous chapter of kind of home automation is you had to make these big decisions all up front. And the beauty of this is the builder can install a bunch of products for you, and then you can go to Home Depot or Amazon and continue to add to your system.
I love that. And one other thing I did love, and I saw this on the website, is actually if somebody doesn't want to reach for their phone and they're within the home, they have a control pad, which they can actually do a lot of these features right from the control pad.
Yeah, that's called Wink Relay. It's a touchscreen wall controller. And what that does is it brings the power of the Wink app to your wall. You know, we don't envision people constantly looking at, you know, your phone. Like we're all trying to have a little bit less phone time. And so this is a great way for you when you're at home to control products from across your entire home from like one simple touch point in the home. So we see people putting this in the kitchen and living room, places where they spend a lot of time, and you're able to control your products. Also, if you have multiple Wink relays, you can actually talk between them.
Oh, nice.
So you have one upstairs and the kids, it's time for dinner, you can actually talk through your Wink relay to all the other ones throughout your house.
Amazing stuff. Again, they can check out more information at Wink. Tell us about the cost of the Wink 2, the Wink Hub 2.
The Wink Hub 2 retails for $99. It's available at wink.com. Amazon, Home Depot, and Walmart.
Awesome. Matt, thank you so much for coming on Tech Talk Radio, and we're having fun setting up all this stuff, and now I want to go out and buy more technology. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little spy tech. Ooh, actually, yeah, yeah. It doesn't mean you could spy on anybody, but you might be
somebody spying on you.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about some of those stories from this past week coming up with Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemon. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tech Talkers.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Al Pacino, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Hoo-ah!
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. And, you know, our discussion with the folks over at Wink, you know, I'm sure some people really like this idea of technology, right? They like it in their homes. They like it in their homes. It's kind of telling you everything. But the question is what is it telling everybody else?
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of that, there's this organization out there that most people probably know about. It goes by three letters. It's called the CIA.
And I always thought when it comes to that stuff, it wasn't the CIA you had to worry about. It was the NSA.
Well, you know, it's kind of they get mixed up a lot. But
NSA are the people that keep an eye on CIA. Right.
I don't know. Maybe they keep an eye on Trump. I have no idea. Anyway, but last week, WikiLeaks, which is the famous site that releases all these classified documents.
Yeah.
They released 8,000 pages of documents from the CIA.
How are they getting this stuff?
Well, they basically hire contractors who are hackers that hack into these things and get these documents, either by social engineering or straight, you know, hacking or whatever. I don't know exactly how they're getting them, but they're getting them.
Right.
And these documents are proven, I mean, basically proven to be true. But they're official documents from the CIA. And these 8,000 documents exposed all of the ways that the CIA is listening to you and hacking into your stuff. You have a
now,
smart
did you believe? Did you believe everything like when it came to the smart TV? Now,
absolutely.
But we're not talking about a TV that is voice responsive. We're talking about just regular TVs, regular smart TVs.
Well, that's the thing. They're talking about regular TVs, regular smart TVs. They're specifically targeting Vizio and Samsung. Now, you think of a TV, you're like, well, a TV doesn't have a microphone. You don't know that. You know, TV is internet connected, the CIA has a backdoor into it. They can be listening to you at any time. And if you read these documents, it's really scary to know the stuff that's going on in the background of what the CIA can listen to you. I mean, the recent thing with Alexa, Amazon Echo.
Right. And we both have one of those.
Yeah, the guy that was, they were trying to get the audio logs from Amazon Echo because this guy committed murder or something like that.
Yeah, and it was all captured. They wanted
but they say, but they say it wasn't captured because it wasn't, because he never actually said, Alexa, I'm going to commit murder. You know, he didn't actually use the keyword to make her listen, but they say, no, the Alexa is always listening. And Amazon denies it. They say, no, it's not always listening. Same with Google.
Wait, no, that doesn't make sense. It is always listening because it's
listening for
its keyword. So that means it's always
local.
On.
That's local. That's, right. that's what Amazon is saying. And the same as Google is they're saying, yeah, it's always listening, but it's always listening locally.
Okay.
Once you hit the keyword, that opens up the gate to the internet, and it sends your data to the internet to answer your question for you. That's what they're saying. Now, who knows if that's really true? Honestly, I think the only real way for me to be able to test that is to disconnect every device in my home from the internet except for Alexa, and then run a packet capture IP address that Alexa has, and capture every single packet. Packet is the bit of data that is transferred into the internet. Obviously, all data on the internet is formed into packets.
Right.
So I would have to run a packet capture, and then I'd have to sit there for hours and hours and decode it to figure out, is Alexa sending everything to the internet no matter what?
Doesn't that just destroy every single spy movie you have ever seen? I mean, when you think about it.
That actually confirms them, really.
Well, no, because in spy movies, what is it? There's always a bug that's planted in the... You know, in the home or the apartment or the hotel room.
Dude, you're talking about like 1970s. Well,
those are the movies that grew up on. So it was always a bug. We're inviting this technology into our homes. But really, does it really bother you though?
No, honestly, no, it doesn't. Because if they want to sit there and listen to me, you know, complain about the, you know, some TV show that I'm watching, like, oh, that's a bunch of BS right there. Oh, yeah. You can't be doing that.
I'm sure you're editing that too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And if they want, I mean, if they got, I mean, I don't have a camera on my smart TV, obviously, but you know, my webcam, they even say your webcam.
Oh yeah.
Is completely.
Hey, listen, you know, if Mark Zuckerberg is putting a piece of tape over his webcam, when he's sitting there and not even using it?
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells you that Facebook is the devil. No, I mean, it just
well, there goes our Facebook account.
Yeah, well, I know. You can catch us on Twitter. Actually, no, it just tells you that you never know who's listening to you, never know who's watching you. I mean, for all we know, we could be recorded right now in Virginia on the CIA servers right now.
Correct.
You and me talking right now.
Right.
Could be recorded. And honestly,
and we've got a
surprised.
Direct connection between the two of us.
Yeah,
I can see you. You can see me.
And it's not encrypted. I mean, it's not encrypted. Like, if you want to be encrypted, you want to be safe, you got to be on a VPN server. But even then, CIA has ways of hacking around a VPN server to get your data if they really want it. Now, VPN server will keep you pretty much private to like 90% of the population.
Right.
And that's a pretty safe, you know, expectation. But when it comes to the CIA, NSA, I mean, they've got the best minds in the world working on this stuff. This is what technology is nowadays. This is where we're going. You get these technology pieces, Alexa or Google Home or a smart TV or a Amazon.
I'm taking it a step further. How about your car?
Your car is even becoming voice activated. I mean, I got Android Auto. My car, my Ford Explorer, is now recently integrated with Alexa. So I can actually ask Alexa to open up my garage door. Except I just don't have the thing to actually make her do that.
you don't have the Chamberlain mic, you?
Yeah, I can actually ask her all day long, and she's like, okay. And then it doesn't work because I don't have it. Well, but my point is everything we do now is being recorded and watched.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about the other day, too, is I thought, you know, I don't think I commit any crimes. I don't do anything wrong. And I thought, I think one of the worst things would be is to be accused of something. And this is by no means, and I know this is not being political, but it is thinking about our future and our security. But by no means, you know, saying that we should all be okay with this. But if somebody says, hey, I remember getting pulled over, and a policeman drew his gun on me.
Oh,
all right,
wow.
And I remember him saying to me, a crime was committed and your car matches the description of where this crime. And obviously, you know, it was not the situation and I was free to go. But think about it. If you're ever accused of something, not only can this technology put somebody away, but it could also be used to clear somebody when they say you were somewhere or you were there. No, look at me. I'm on my canary.
Look at my dash cam. Look at my dash cam.
I'm on my dash cam. I'm on my canary. I used Alexa at this time. That's my voice print. I was there. Because it does record your voice print. If you go into your app for Alexa, it will actually record it.
I think it would be awesome if you can get in touch with like I don't even know what the title would be, but an attorney who specializes in digital forensics.
Boy, that's going to be huge.
That'd be amazing to have them on the show.
Well, it's not only that. Think about where that's going. Because I know forensics experts that, you know, we've talked about drive recovery recently.
Digital forensics is becoming
it's enormous. I mean, we talked about drive recovery just last week on the show. That has even grown even more where people are being called in. Can you pull what was on this hard drive formatted before?
Yep.
You know, these experts, if somebody is wanting to get into a field that is definitely got a future in it, digital forensics is going to be one of them.
You know, and to kind of like throw a little side note into this whole situation, we're talking about a lot of, you know, hacking and spying and stuff. If you don't really understand what this is all about, I do, and I mentioned it a couple of minutes ago, I do highly recommend people go watch the TV show on USA Network called Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
It is about a hacker. And the thing is they actually hired real hackers to kind of be the subject matter experts on the situation.
Consultants,
The consultants to let them know, okay, if you're going to sit there and type on this computer, you need to be typing these commands to make it look real. You don't want to be just, you know, bashing away on your computer.
Yeah, they're not using Windows either.
yeah, they're using Linux, which is true. I mean, most hackers use Linux. But the thing is this show is very authentic. Very authentic in terms of what a hacker does to get into your system. And it's actually a very entertaining show.
I think this is going to be one of those questions that's going to continue for years. You know,
this is going to get bigger and bigger.
Somebody asked me recently, one of the stations I was at.
We're about to enter the Matrix, dude.
You kind of wonder, but they asked me, you know, how do you avoid this? I said, well, if you're talking about in your home, then don't bring any new technology into your home.
That's not going to work, dude. I mean, the thing is you almost need to bring technology in your home. You can't buy a regular TV. Every TV you buy is smart TV now.
Correct.
You know, I mean, the thing is, if you really want to stop all this from happening, you go out into the middle of the Rocky Mountains and you build yourself a little cabin and you get a solar panel and a water pump and you live off the grid.
Well, wait, a solar panel still needs technology to make it work.
No, it doesn't.
Not at all.
Not that technology.
Yeah.
Not internet.
You've got to look forward.
The tears of the losers of the internet.
Yeah. Powered off the tears of the losers of the internet.
That's what you're saying.
That's the name of this week's show. Oh boy. So yes, people are hearing a lot of stuff about this. It confuses them. It scares them. I am sure. I saw a story not too long ago on the net about a guy who bought one of these wireless printers. Mm-hmm. You know, these are available now where you can print from your home and all that stuff. Well, the next door neighbor found out he was connected to their network and printed, you know, I am your printer. I am taking over. Yeah. And the guy threw his printer in the front yard.
Yeah.
He threw it in the trash. Said, I don't want this.
And the guy went and picked this printer up and took it back to his house. He's like, thanks for the free printer.
So you have to understand the technology and realize it is a part of the life. Just how much do you want to get into it? You know, we talked about smart homes. I would love the completely connected smart home. It does make life easier. But again, there are going to be those that say, nope, I don't want it. Mm, and you got to respect that. All right. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I have got a fun website of the week. It's goofy. It's silly. It will make you laugh, especially if you're scared of somebody watching you. We'll take care of that coming up next on Tech Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
Got a new tech device? Be sure to recycle your old one. The Consumer Technology Association is making it easy to recycle your old TVs, tablets, and smartphones. Go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll find the recycling center closest to your home. That's greenergadgets.org.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
I was watching a DVD the other day. I saw that thing that's at the beginning of DVDs these days. You know, the anti-piracy advertisements. And this one said, you wouldn't steal a mobile phone. You wouldn't steal a car. You guys might have seen this. And I think to myself, well, you're right, you know. I wouldn't steal a car. But if a mate of mine called me up and said, Sam, I've just bought a new car. Would you like me to burn you a copy? I reckon I'd consider that.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. You can find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. My name is Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. We're also on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at Tech Talk Radio. And I'm on Snapchat.
And you can find us on Tinder.
No, I had to delete the account. Aww. Wait, no, wait. You're not on Snapchat, are you?
I am, but I never use it.
You never use it? Now, yeah. What about Snap goggles? Would you actually use those if you had them?
What the hell are those?
The spectacles. They're glasses you put on, and you can record experiences, and they go via your connection to your phone and stream it. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Reach into your back pocket real fast. Hand me your man card. You're done. You're no longer. Nope.
I could use them because I don't have a camera.
Girl.
I don't have a camera on my phone.
Yeah, thank God.
All right. So we've got a website of the week for you that is a little goofy, but it was actually kind of fun. And it's one of those things, you know, there are sites we could give you that'll tell you how to format a hard drive and all that. Instead, no, we want you to have fun in life. We want you to go to slapkirk.com. And when you're at Slapkirk, and Justin is, I can tell he's doing it right now. It gives
I'm
you the
slapping the hell out of him.
It gives you the ability to slap William Shatner. Silly. Just absolutely silly. And
very young William Shatner as Captain Kirk.
Well, it's as Captain Kirk. Lee.
Oh, you just hold your mouse button down. You get so many more slaps.
I didn't know that. All right. Now, I don't know why this site.
Oh, my God, the screen turns red.
I don't know why this site is out there. Let me let you listen to a little of the audio from Slap Kirk. Here we go. I'm trying to hold the button down. It's not working.
Actually, you have to hold it down. You just click once, and then it just says click once, and then you can go back and forth with your mouse, and the screen will turn red.
It's just the silliest thing in the world.
I've got 447 snaps so far.
You know, if you're looking for something goofy, you just need some time. You want to get out some aggression? Take it out on William Shatner. Again, it's available online. It's free at slapkirk.com. I said I'm playing Spock mode, so I don't even know what that is. Spock mode means It comes up. Oh,
and he's slapping Spock.
Yeah, he's, it's Shatner slapping Spock.
I don't get this site.
Gotta love technology. All right. That's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back next week with more tech. If you have a question, feel free to text it to us, 520-204-1754, and we'll answer your question. We'll get in touch with you if it's something you need right away, but we may use that on the show as well. Justin, right. You have a great week.
All right. You too, Andy. We'll talk to you guys later.